Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and as you know, it's one of my favorite times of the week to be here with you, sharing information, answering questions. We just love it. And I brought along one of my favorite people.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
How about that? Richard's here with us. We just love it. Everything's perfect, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, I would.
Well, that's good.
Indeed. If you get our emails, then you know that it's a very special guest tonight. And our guest is Mary Magdalene. And we're looking forward to conversing with her. And Richard, for those who are not receiving our emails, how can they register for those emails?
They can go to the 2012countdown.com and they can enter their name and email address on the top or bottom of any page on that website.
It's good to know who's going to be on the show and other information that we send out. So if you haven't signed up with us, take care of that tonight and get all this wonderful information from us. And so, for those of you who do get our email, you know that tonight we have a very special guest, Mary Magdalene. And I'm sure she's going to be talking a lot about the particular time that we are in and perhaps even her life with Yeshua. So, Richard, have you connected with her yet?
I believe I have. And what I'm getting is, unsurprisingly, this beautiful, loving, feminine energy. Primarily love, but I sense also a great wisdom, a great understanding, a great compassion, a great gentleness alongside power, a beautiful feminine energy is what I'm receiving from her. Really very
That's
special.
Wonderful. And I would just like to mention that you are such a master at this, and you do teach people how to connect with those on the other side. I just thought I would let our audience know that, because you are very good at what you do with this regards.
Thank you, Carol.
So, Richard, does she have a message, a special message for us tonight?
Hopefully so. It'd be a bit embarrassing if she doesn't.
Wouldn't it now?
Let's see what she has to say. I have not come to to disappoint you. I come with a message for all of you, because even though it has seemed very drawn out and never changing, you live in a time when there will be great change in your world. And I particularly wanted to connect you with the roles that Yeshua and I played, my beloved Yeshua and I played in preparing for the time you find yourselves in. If one looks at the story that is told to you, so-called history, of who Yeshua and I were, he has been packaged by the Catholic Church in particular, but Christianity in general, as the unique being called the Son of God. And I have been packaged by the Catholic Church as a prostitute. And Yeshua is no more the Son of God than any other being in creation, though he does come forth from a very special monad known as Marietta. And I also came forth from an important monad known as Allura, who is the high cherubim angel. And we came at that time for a number of reasons. Firstly, let me say that we did something that I hear Richard talk about at times, and that is we chose our parents carefully. In both cases, our parents were on the maternal side aspects of Allura, as I was, and on the paternal side, our fathers were aspects of Archangel Sandalphon. And in so doing, it brought great strengths to us as individuals. There is a tendency in your world to view parentage, you might say, simply from a genetic perspective, simply what comes through, you might consider the bloodline. But in fact, there is far more going on in terms of what gets expressed in the power of the genetic makeup that arises from the soul that is sent forth. This, in a way, activates or empowers the DNA. And so it is this combination which leads to the power of expression, you might say, within the genetic makeup of the individual. And in our cases, by having parents of the origins I described, it meant that firstly, we both carried great power because of who and what we were, but also because of who our parents were. And this was particularly important for one of our core missions. It is not well understood that the human DNA had been interfered with in an earlier time. There were those sent forth from Sirius, which your history records as the Anunnaki, and they were actually sent forth with a core mission to refresh the human DNA to ensure that it was in a state to go forward, to, you might say, recover from the fall when the time was due for this, and also to, you might say, go forward in other ways. But those beings got sidetracked, and so they, in fact, enslaved humanity, and they did not complete the upgrading work that should have been undertaken. And indeed, those of Sirius paid a great price at the time, and indeed ultimately for their irresponsibility. And so there was a need to, you might say, correct the human DNA. And in fact, this was a key role that Yeshua and I fulfilled through our three children. Our three children came forth from us and then went forth into the world. And they married and had children in their own right. And what is not well understood is that aspects of both Allura and Sandalphon came back and intermarried with the offspring of that bloodline to again reinforce the changes that were triggered through our children. And it might surprise you, but in fact it's not difficult to illustrate that indeed the DNA of our children, you might say our DNA, actually spread throughout all of humanity over the intervening 2,000 years, such that all of those who choose to do so are now in a state where they can participate in the changes that are due to come forth by way of moving to a higher consciousness by way of being able to rejuvenate the physical form. This was not possible either without these changes. And so this was one of the key missions that Yeshua and I had when we came forth some 2,000 odd years ago. There were some other key things that we also needed to do. There was, you might consider, an energetic connection between this dimension, or your dimension as it now is, and the higher dimension to which humanity will move as events unfold, the so-called angelic dimension. Some people refer to it as the fifth dimension, but in my view, it is more accurate to describe it as the angelic dimension. And so that connection was broken during the fall, and this was not planned either, but it was a consequence of the processes that occurred. You may not know that it was far from certain that humanity would survive the fall, though it was obviously expected that humanity would. And certainly the process had not been undertaken previously, and so there was uncertainties about exactly how it would all unfold. And one of the consequences was this energetic break, you might say. And indeed, part of Yeshua's mission was to repair that connection. And it is recorded that there is a shroud known as the Shroud of Turin, which supposedly carries the imprint of a body. And indeed, that imprint is the imprint of Yeshua, because he was in an altered energetic state during the time after the crucifixion, when he lay in the tomb for 3 days. He was actually undertaking key energetic work to reconnect between your dimension and that higher dimension. And this took a great deal of special skill, special ability, and training. And as I said, he was in, you might consider, an altered state, almost, you might consider, a radioactive state, though this is not strictly accurate. And the result of this is the imprinting that is still held today as that Shroud of Turin. So this was another core piece of work that was done in that time, some 2,000 odd years ago, to help to prepare for the time that you are now in. And so most people do not understand that we were undertaking this core work in preparing for the time you are now present in. And of course, there was other work that we undertook that was more relevant to that particular time. Core healing work for people, core guidance, and bringing new understandings to the best of our ability, though in large measure they were eroded with time. But the writings of both Yeshua and I still exist, and they will come forth in due course. You would recognize that there are no direct writings held by Yeshua that have actually come forth to form part of any of the historical documents. And there are many reasons for this, one being to suppress the truth of who and what he was and what he had to say, but also to, you might say, protect its pristine form. Every other form of writings that has come forth from that historical context have all been altered to suit the purposes of those who wish to control the planet. And by keeping these writings hidden away until it is time to bring them forth, they cannot be interfered with, they cannot be modified, as has been done with so many documents, including the Bible that you take to be, or so many take to be, the Word of God. Of course, it is not that. And the form that you have today is significantly altered in many core elements from the original documents that were written many years ago. So these are some of the key things that we were involved in at that time. As you may recall, if you have listened to the recording with Constantine the First, where he talks about the reason for setting up the Christian church in Rome, his agenda many have questioned, but his core agenda really was to see the name of Yeshua survive throughout time down to this time. In fact, it was not so important how accurately that understanding of who and what he was came down, but rather his name traveled down through time so that it could connect into your time. And this, in fact, was achieved despite all of the distortions, some of which that I have already referred to in regard to who and what he was. But the passage of his name down into this time was considered to be a very important thing to be achieved. And as events unfold, this will be understood rather better. But that intention, that understanding by Constantine was no accident. It was indeed planned to be that way. Because again, that man was another aspect of Archangel Sandalphon, again contributing to this unfolding down through time. These things are not well understood. And so I wanted to make some of these connections to refresh, you might say, the understanding that at least some of you have about this, what you might consider a plan behind the game, or a game behind the game, whereby there is this much larger understanding and unfolding occurring, where core beings have sent forth aspects to participate in the human experience at key moments, at key times, to influence the unfolding of this journey, to influence the human experience, the human history, so that it reached this time largely in the form that it has reached. Now, many of you will be quite concerned about how far along, you might say, the Dark are in taking complete control of humanity. And I will simply say to you that this indeed is no accident either, because it was long foretold, it was prophesied that the Dark would be at the point where they believed they would be able to reach for complete control of humanity, only to have it snatched from them. And this, my friends, is exactly what is unfolding in this time. And so I came forth to put in place these connections, you might say, these reminders, which in their own way refresh the work that Yeshua and I undertook in our time, and in its own way reconnects with this moment of change. Because these connections need to be made in many, many ways. Yes, the refreshing of the DNA was important. The work that Yeshua did to reconnect to the higher dimensions was important. The survival of Yeshua's name down to this time was important. And also the full understanding of the game behind the game. Whilst humanity in general does not understand this, in time this will become far more widely understood and appreciated when the time is right. It is not time for that yet. It is time, however, for this understanding to be refreshed amongst this relatively small group that are either listening live to this radio show or who will listen to the recording in the coming days, weeks, or months. Because, again, it is placing a connection, you might say, to this time. It is, in part, placing a connection into the grid system so that this understanding is in place. And so it is no accident that I come forth in this manner, in this time, to share this with you, because you truly are on the doorstep of these changes emerging in your world. And so this is the heart of what I wished to say to you. And I want you all to understand that I have been watching over all of you, just as my beloved Yeshua has, and indeed other core beings that have come forth to support and to foster and to direct humanity over the millennia, because we all care for all of you and what you are here to do, because in a way what you are doing now is really finalizing, bringing to fruition the mission that we all played our part in putting into place. This unfolding is not something that is simply occurring in your time, but indeed in many ways was planned before the fall in Atlantis occurred. And many beings have come forth at core times to either correct things or to steer things quietly forward, to shepherd the human experience in some key manners so that all of this would be in place in the time in which you find yourselves. And my friends, I have to tell you, it has a perfection that you cannot grasp when you are in the middle of that difficult consciousness, when you see the distortions, the lies and deceit that has been foisted upon humanity, the propaganda, the mind control, the manipulation of humanity on so many levels. It is hard to imagine that the human population can survive this. The publicized plans to reduce the human population to under 500 million people, all of these things are concerning to anyone who has any real awareness of things. But I say to you, do not be concerned. Firstly, the true journey is the journey of the soul, not of the human individual life. It is easy to get focused on an individual life, but it is not that important. I am not saying human life is not a precious commodity, because it is, but it is easy to become overly focused upon a particular individual human life. And this truly is about the recovery, you might say, of humanity in a spiritual sense. And so many have come forth and sacrificed their individual life to ensure that all of this moved forward in the manner that was required. So do not be concerned by those events. They are simply part of that very difficult consciousness. But know, all of you that are listening to this will participate in these changes in one form or another. And so it is.
Oh, Mary Magdalene, thank you for such a beautiful message, and you, Richard, for bringing it forth. And we have some questions from listeners. Jeannie is online too. What is your question?
Yes.
What is your question, dear?
Well, my question is that I had read about the Anunnakis. I had read all of Zachariah Sitchin's Earth Chronicles. So what happened that the Anunnakis did not do the change of DNA? Enki and Lee, why was it because they were jealous of each other?
There are many stories told by Sitchin, and Sitchin's story, as it is written, is not entirely accurate. It is not really about the battle between those brothers so much, but rather the fact that the Anunnaki as a group came forth for a particular purpose, which was in essence to refresh the human DNA, you might say, whereas in fact they did not fully undertake their mission, but in fact enslaved humanity. And this is the core thing to understand. It was not driven by the jealousy of the brothers. That really is a side issue, you might say, in the unfolding of events. They were, you might consider, both off track in a true sense, because their mission was really to come and to make those changes and leave, and that is not what they did.
Thank you so much for your answer.
Thank you.
You're welcome, dear.
Thank you. Well, I have another question about the Arcturians.
All right.
Can I ask
quickly.
That?
Yes, quickly.
Well, Juliana, who talks to David here and talks about the fifth dimension. So you're saying the fifth dimension is really the angelic dimension that we are going to go to?
The dimension that humanity will move to is best known as the angelic dimension, and it will be the highest dimension that any beings have carried a physical body. Indeed, there are already humans present in that dimension because some of the, you might consider, most enlightened from Atlantis moved forward with that consciousness. It's not as if all of the beings in the Atlantean experience went through the fall. Some did not and continued forward with that Atlantean consciousness. So you might consider that the dimension that those of humanity who choose it will be going to was the progressed expression of the Atlantean experience. It is perhaps the best way to view it. And that has progressed to, as I describe it, the angelic dimension. It is perhaps the best way to view it. It is confusing, really, to talk about so-called third, fourth, and fifth dimensions because they carry a sense of meaning to humanity that is not in truth a reality. And so I would say you have your current dimension, which you call the third dimension, but even that is confusing. Rather, that you will be moving from that very dense dimension to what I am calling the angelic dimension. And I encourage you to use that term. There are many who bring forth information who, whilst with the best intention, seek to convey the truth of things. It is very rare that people bring these things forth without being coloured by their own perspectives and experiences. Indeed, inevitably, the knowledge of an individual becomes part of the way they bring information forth from beings on the other side. This is, in a sense, inevitable. I acknowledge that Richard does this also. But what I would say is that from your own perspective, what you need to do is to develop your own sense of what is true and what is not. Build your own discernment, because so much of what is supposedly channeled as truth in your world carries very little truth in reality. And so what I encourage you to build is your own real sense of discernment. Be much more critical of the various sources that you monitor, not only what you read by way of channeled messages, but what you read in general or what you hear. This is a tool to develop to carry you through life. And I encourage all of you listening to this, if you have not developed this within yourselves, to do so. It is a gift that every human being carries, but has been encouraged to discard and to demean, whereas it truly is the great guide in life in every sense. It will bring forth the guidance you need to take every step that you take in life.
Thank you so much for that.
Thank you
for your question, dear. Now, Michelle from New Mexico is on line one. Michelle, what question do you have, dear?
I'm sorry. I just want to thank Richard and you, Carolyn, and Mary Magdalene for coming through. I thoroughly enjoy these channels.
Yes, she brought forth a very interesting message, didn't she?
Yes, beautiful. I guess if I could ask a question is, how are we progressing on Earth? Are we ascending? I know we have work to do, but how are we progressing as humanity?
As I indicated in my answer earlier, I would say to you that things are essentially on track. But in saying that, I am not saying that humanity is passing through the ascension process in this moment, because they are not, even though some would try to tell you this. And I encourage you to look back into the previous recordings of previous shows from these individuals and listen to the most recent recording from Michael Jackson, where he explains the processes in quite some detail. Indeed, he came forth quite specifically for that purpose. And I encourage you to listen to that recording and to use it as a reference point to understand where humanity is and what the steps are that will unfold in the coming days, weeks, months, and indeed years.
Thank you for your question, dear. We're going to go to Sherry from
Did you
Washington.
Skip Kim?
She dropped off.
Oh, did she? I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Sherry from Washington on line three. What's your question, Sherry?
Hello, Carolyn. Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering, on a general level and maybe a personal level, how can we accelerate our rejuvenation?
How can we what? I didn't hear that word.
Accelerate our rejuvenation process.
Oh, accelerate. Yes. Oh, okay.
Thank you.
There is really very little you can do to accelerate your personal rejuvenation, because if you understand the process that has been laid out, the template for rejuvenation is being put in place through the work of Carolyn on this radio show, and indeed this will only occur, that is, her rejuvenation will be the first rejuvenation to occur, and this can only occur after all of the interference by the dark has been ended. I will share with you that those who work very closely with Carolyn and Richard and participate in their conference calls with the Masters will be aware that a new consciousness has reached your dimension in the last week or so and has connected with the current consciousness. And that consciousness is the consciousness which will contain rejuvenation, will contain the rejuvenated form. And so this is an important step forward that has been completed. It is an important milestone in the process. And so the next step you might consider is to see off the remaining interference that Carolyn experiences so that her rejuvenation can unfold. And from there, it can flow out to others. And I will say to you that this is very close. I am not going to say it is going to happen tomorrow or even next week, but I will say it is indeed very close. And so once that occurs, it will begin to flow out to the cherubim who have connected with Carolyn and Richard's work closely, and from there it will begin to flow out to others who choose to participate in this work. And
thank
so,
you.
Thank you. Thank
from
you.
Your own perspective, if you understand that you have that close connection, then, and you have not activated that in some manner, then I encourage you to do that, to get in touch with Richard and to investigate that further.
Richard, for those
thank
who
you
might
so
want
much,
to
participate,
you're welcome, dear. For those who might wish to participate in the conference calls, where can people go to get more information about that?
It's probably easiest if I provide a link to it in the email that I send out after the call, because you know, I can't. It's a it's a long title.
I understand. Right,
it's
the
on,
title's
it's
long.
It's on the. It's on the MetatronMinutes.com website, I think. But I can't tell you the page off
no,
the top.
That's good. You can send that out, information when you send out the recording. That would be good because there might be some people who want to participate with that.
Indeed.
We now go to Lee from New York on line 4. Lee, welcome. What is your question?
Hello.
Is that Lee? Is that Lee or
what's
Lou?
Yes. Lou.
Hi, Lou.
And sorry, it looked like Lee to me. What's your question,
Lou,
dear?
My question, I wanted to thank everyone for what they're doing tonight and for to Mary Magdalene for coming through and that beautiful message. And I know the crucifixion is a very difficult subject to talk about, but I think why so many people were so easily persuaded by the enslavement concept was that we all do suffer. Our souls do experience, you know, in the human, I guess, I don't know if other species, and other planets experience suffering as we do, because they've evolved probably beyond that. But during Yeshua's crucifixion, clearly he was persecuted, he suffered. And does he have, or would you know, and could you speak to what kind of advice that he could have for people who are, many people who are suffering on this planet now, and to deal with that very human and very difficult component of being human.
That's a
the
good
whole
question.
Concept of suffering.
Firstly, I will say to you that there is no other consciousness where suffering is as it is upon planet Earth. It is an aspect of this very dense consciousness where the dark have largely held sway for some 13,000 years and have increased their power over humanity. But the notion that souls who are going through this human experience, through this suffering, are in some manner lesser souls or lesser evolved souls is one of those myths of your planet. This is not accurate in any manner. And the notion that people or souls progress beyond this experience in some manner, again, is not really an accurate construct. It is important to understand that when a soul incarnates, it is a new finger of consciousness sent forth from that particular monad. And so reincarnation is a new finger of consciousness from the same monad as the previous finger of consciousness or soul. And so it is not the same soul that returns. The soul that leaves after it crosses over, you might say, continues to journey and evolve and grow until close to the end of the cycle of Brahma, when it will return to the monad. So this notion that souls keep returning here to suffer until they move beyond it is a complete nonsense that has become part of the folklore of your planet. So, returning to the notion of suffering, of course, Yeshua did experience suffering during the crucifixion, but what most people do not understand is that he did not die during that experience, and that he underwent a great deal of training to be able to withstand that experience, to, you might say, step out of the physical body whilst that process was going on. You see, the Essenes had great ability to see into the future, and they understood that this was indeed a very likely scenario. Firstly, he did not come to be crucified, but it was well understood that that was a likely scenario, and he was prepared from a very young age for this possibility. Also, the wine, you might say, that was given to him, the fluids that were given to him on a sponge whilst he was on the cross, were contained herbs and other things to assist in relieving him and assist in him being able to release himself from that experience. And so, for all intents and purposes, his body appeared to be without life. He appeared to be dead on the cross. And that is why my father and his uncle, Joseph of Arimathea, was able to petition for him to be able to be taken down from the cross and transferred to the cave, which was effectively, you might consider, a tomb. So you see, yes, he suffered, but he did not suffer in the way that a normal human being that has not gone through the kind of training that he had gone through had gone through. His grandmother, Anna, lived for some 800 odd years, and she would leave her body for up to 30 years before returning. Now, most of humanity does not understand that that is possible. Anna aged normally to about 65 and then returned to a physical age of about 35, which she held for the rest of her time. When she gave birth to Mother Mary, she was some 450 years old, and yet that seems to be completely ridiculous as you might look at things. So the understandings of who and what the Essenes were and what they were capable of is completely unappreciated by most of humanity. And I mention this so that you understand the skills and gifts and abilities that were available to Yeshua as he grew up. He underwent a great deal of training by Anna and others, including my dear mother. So it's important to understand that whilst he certainly suffered, it was not like you might consider the average person would suffer if they experienced what he experienced. He was conditioned for it. He was prepared for it. So that is important for you to understand, and I thank you for your question because it gives me the opportunity to share this with you. Now, as for the individual suffering of humanity, so many are walking difficult journeys on so many levels, and I'm not wishing to in any manner diminish that experience of any one of the individuals. But what does tend to happen is that the individual tends to identify with that suffering. It becomes part of their persona. They take it on, and so they become defined to an extent by their suffering. Whereas the challenge for everyone is to examine the suffering, and in a sense, every individual's suffering has a basis in their journey, in many cases over many lifetimes. And when there is deep suffering in this lifetime, it is because that suffering has been chosen by that individual. Most people do not understand this. And so there is a liberation that is possible inside of the suffering of every individual to learn how to, in a sense, step out of that suffering and to see yourself as much more than that physical form that is suffering. If you understand and reclaim your love for yourself, if you heal yourself from the wounding that every individual has from their childhood. If you connect with your truth in meditation, all of these things will allow yourself to begin to connect with the totality of who and what you are. And then the things that seem to be great suffering in this consciousness, they lessen enormously because you are not your suffering. You are not this human physical form. It is just the vehicle for your soul. Again, I want to say to you that I am not wishing to demean or diminish in any manner the suffering that so many human beings are undergoing in this lifetime and have done over many lifetimes. But just as Yeshua learned to overcome his suffering on the cross, there are threads of what he learnt and practiced that are available to every individual, not the totality of what he mastered and learnt and displayed, but rather you might consider the spirit of what he undertook, and that was to transcend the experience. Everyone can transcend their experience of suffering in this lifetime. It is, in a manner, a tool that opens a door for those who are willing to look to the truth of who and what you are. And this, in truth, is the gift within the suffering, within that difficult consciousness. Without a level of suffering, most human beings will take themselves to be the human experience. It is only when life does not behave in that perfect image that you begin to look beyond that human experience.
Thank you so much. Richard, we are just about at the end of the program, and I wonder if Mary Magdalene could give us a little bit of insight to the lives of her children. What happened to them? Where did they go, if we have time?
We had three children, as history records if you look closely. And perhaps the best known of our children was our daughter named Sarah, who in fact came to France with me and others, including my father, Joseph of Arimathea. And indeed their arrival into southern France is celebrated every year by the gypsies. And so our names and her names are recorded in that history, that pageant, you might say, that celebration of the gypsies each year in France. So Sarah lived her life in France, became part of the Essene community that was in France in that time. And I will add that it was intentionally decided that our three children would be separated geographically relatively early on in their lives. And besides Sarah, there were two boys, and one went to Britain with my father, Joseph of Arimathea, and the third went to India with one of Yeshua's brothers. He went to India and lived out his life in India, and you will find references to his time there, his life lived there. Some people confuse his life lived there with his father, but this is not accurate. There is also history of one of Yeshua's brothers in India, so it all gets a little confusing. Of course, Yeshua himself spent time there on more than one occasion. So our children were spread geographically because we did not know if there would be those who would come after us and seek to kill the children. We knew it was a risk because some people began to understand that we were about a little more than just what we practiced in our time in the Middle East. So I hope this gives you some sense of the journeys of our children.
It does, and thank you. And Richard, we are here at the end of the show. We probably have a minute if you wish to mention something. Thank you, Mary Magdalene, and thank you, Richard, for bringing her forth.
Yes, I just wanted to mention the little meditation that I shared a couple of weeks ago now, I think, the Yeshua's Healing with Light meditation that Carolyn brought forth some time ago. And it was triggered actually by an email from somebody who was listening to our radio show a couple of weeks ago. And the feedback on that has been wonderful. And if you haven't listened to the little segment of that, I encourage you to do so. I will share some more of the feedback when I have time to put that together. I've just been a little busy to get to that, but I will share that with you. It's a beautiful meditation, and some people have really got a lot of value from working with that Healing with Light meditation.
Well, Richard, we are at the end of the show. I'd like to thank Mary Magdalene for her beautiful information and forthright information, and you, Richard, for all that you did to bring her forth. As always, you do a masterful job.
Thank you, Carolyn. It was a joy to bring her forth tonight. And I see we've got a couple of minutes left, if my clock is accurate. Yes, I found the information very interesting, I have to say. She's a beautiful soul that many have connected with in many ways. And, you know, just as Yeshua, in a sense, has come down to us over or through the time, through the 2,000 years, so too has Mary Magdalene traveled down, as has Yeshua's mother, Mother Mary, bringing their energies to our current world. And it saddens me that Mary Magdalene was demeaned by the Catholic Church in an effort to have Yeshua be in their defined form as being, you know, a celibate monk, which of course he wasn't. He was a rabbi, if anyone understands the truth of the matter. And of course, rabbis marry and have children. It's part of their responsibility. And he was a good
Richard,
rabbi.
Richard, real quick, was the wedding feast of Cana, the marriage ceremony of Mary Magdalene and Yeshua?
It was, yes.
Well, I felt that I knew the answer to that, but I thought it would be good to bring it forth for the audience right now.
That's the perfect question, Carolyn. Don't ask a question unless you already know the answer, right?
As any trial lawyer will tell you.
Indeed.
Thank you for everything.
And thank you, Carolyn.
And thank you, Mary Magdalene. We just love you. Until the next time.
Indeed. Until next time, my friends. Good night for now.
Good night for now.